when you're riding after rattlesnakes, you gotta be tough. You gotta be rough. You gotta shoot straight. Be on the lookout. The James Gang is back in town, and they're meaner than ever. There's Brother Eli. He stomped down many a snake in his day, and he ain't done yet. His younger brother Dave, quicker than a horned toad, he can hunt down a snake's lie. Then there's Sister Jean. She can whip out a scripture faster than a Colt 45. Wanted, dead or alive, they'll be coming for you. It's the James Gang on HeroFolkRadio.com.
And we're ricocheting right into your life. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James and David James, the James Gang. This is HeroFolk Radio. And today's one-to-one is going to focus on the Dresden Holocaust. The Dresden Holocaust. And you know that we at HeroFolk Radio deal with news that the mainstream Jews media never touches. And Dresden is one of those subjects that they never want to bring up. You know, they'll bring up, you know, if the hair on a Negro is disrupted, that's a hate crime. That's a hate crime. But if 600,000 Germans are firebombed on a single day, well, that's not newsworthy. Well, we're not going to let that die, folks. We will never forget the Dresden Holocaust. David, you have an announcement or something to read for us?
Sweeping, sweep.
Excuse me. I was calling my pigs in. I was going to have some bacon tonight.
All right.
Joking. I'm sure there'll be some angry Israelites out there when they hear such things.
Yeah, right.
I was actually calling to the Jews.
That's what I figured.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sue me, pig.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of pigs, there's a reason why I wanted to read this, just because I want you to understand what I've been telling you, what Yahweh revealed to me this year about division.
Okay.
I read this on my news show. I'm going to read it on Saxon's Creed this week. It's that important. This is an admission about our enemy, the pigs, the Jews, mm-hmm. and this is an enemy that uses division. I want you to listen to it come out of its own mouth. Seriously.
Yeah.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel has warned Democrats they need to take a chill pill and realize that they're not going to take back national power anytime soon. It ain't going to happen in 2018, Emanuel said Monday at Stanford's Graduate School of Business in California. Take a chill pill, man. You got to be in this for the long haul. That's mm-hmm. the first thing I'd have to say. Now, let's listen to this as this continues. And I would urge you to pay attention to what I'm saying. Don't drift off at this moment. Listen. As he did last month at an event in Washington, D.C., the mayor expanded on what he believes is the roadmap back to power for his party, putting moderate candidates such as veterans, football players, sheriffs, and business people up in Republican districts, picking battles with Republicans, listen careful, exploiting wedges, which is divisions, within the GOP and fighting attempts to redistrict Congress on partisan grounds. Exploiting wedges. That means divisions between people in the GOP. So you see, this is amazing because it's an admission. It's an admission on how they've done it to America. And I have explained that democracy is a division, an instant division of the people. And I'm going to tell you the last thing I'd like to say, and we'll just move along. The creatures like that you're seeing, like Betty Warren or I mean, whatever her name is, Warren there, whatever her name is from my state. I don't even know her name. Whatever her name is, she's a piece of garbage. What's her name? Nancy Pelosi.
Oh yeah, her too.
this judge.
Oh, Elizabeth Warren is probably who you're thinking of.
Yeah, whatever. I don't even care whether she's scum Warren, whatever her name is. But all these creatures have been created because of this division. Have been created because of the process of democracy. This is why the Jews love it. They've got a whole bunch of our people on their side. Although Nancy Pelosi's not one of us. I don't know what Warren is. She's just a creature.
Right.
But then there was the other one. There's a thing called the Three Stooges, and they showed she said President Bush, she doesn't even know who's president, Nancy Pelosi, by the way. She said President Bush was president just recently.
Uh-huh. And in the past.
She's gonzo.
Right.
She really is. But this is what my point is democracy creates these creatures by the division. See, once you pick the left and you decide you're going to be on the left, pretty soon you're with the Jews and you're adhering to all their will. Same as Freemasonry. The Freemasons want to build the temple in Jerusalem. Who else wants to build that?
That's right.
The Jews. That's right. All right. But anyway, that's all I have to say. So you've heard it out of their own mouth that they use division. They'll find a wedge between us somehow. That's what they did with the family, right, in the 60s?
Right.
Put a wedge between them. Put a dividing, something that will divide them. That's all I wanted to say. Okay, this is that important that every audience available needs to hear that this is what the Jews are up to. Over to you.
Yeah, all right. David, how do you spell Jew backwards?
W-E-J, wedge.
Very
good.
Go.
Good.
All right. Wedge.
Very good. Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Not bad. Not bad. And they are backwards. There's no
That's
doubt
right.
about it. But think about what I'm saying. These creatures like that Judge Robard.
Yes.
He's a communist. You know,
he
said he was a Jesuit this morning.
That's right.
I want these people. I literally want to bring back a tradition of the founding fathers, which is tar and feathering.
Yes.
I'm telling you, that has got to be one of the most awful things that could ever happen to you. Never mind being kicked out of town or hung. I think we ought to bring that back and tar and feather these people.
Amen.
For real.
Well, that's going to throw a monkey wrench into the plan of the wedge, the Jew wedge, that Rahm Emanuel is calling for. You know, it ain't working like it used to. There's more and more resistance. And the problem is, David, what they're finding is their own rioters, like Black Lives Matter and all these libtards that going on terrorist rampages, they're smashing up their own corporate their own corporate sponsors, right? Like Starbucks and Bank America, right?
That's I was laughing when I saw that.
Yeah.
They threw something through the window of Starbucks, and Starbucks is a Jew-run thing that says that they're going to hire 10,000 illegal immigrants or whatever like that.
Yeah.
You know, so they're trying to cause they've done whatever they can to destroy that. I will never buy a cup of coffee. I never did, and I never will.
And neither have I. I've never shopped at Starbucks, never. So, because I know it's a Jewish-run organization. But by the way, folks, the chat room is open. I'm going to open it up now for these episodes of One to One. So please join us in the chat room. Brother Hebert is in there. So come on in, folks, and speak your mind. And join us in the chat room. Just go to Your Folk Radio, the main page, and there's a little balloon at the top of the schedule. So just go
is
right there.
Is Goldilocks in there?
Not yet.
You said a bear is in there, and I figured Goldilocks can't be too far behind.
All right. Well, are there any zombies surrounding your house after you went suey?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Right? So keep your shotgun handy.
That is how they call the pigs, you know.
That's right. I know.
That is how they call pigs. Suey!
Yeah, right.
You know?
Or you just dangle a carrot out the window, right? Pigs will eat anything. They will eat anything, including each other. right?
Well, you know what they really are. If you want to really look at it, the way why Yahweh looks at it this way, is he will tell you not to eat the bottom feeders, mm-hmm. you know, like catfish, you know, shellfish, lobsters,
right?
Anything that's a bottom
catfish,
feeder, right?
Yeah.
Well, he tells you also not to eat things that eat dead things, like eagles,
right.
All kinds
buzzards,
of birds will
right.
will eat carrion. They're to clean up the land. They clean that's up right. the land like those things that clean up the sea. Well, a pig is another land cleaner. It's
yes.
it's a garbage feeder.
Right.
It
exactly.
feeds on anything garbage, and it will, you know, it cleans the it'll clean the land. But if you were to actually fall inside the pen, they
oh,
would
yeah.
jump on you and kill you and eat you, for real.
That's right. They would. That's right. They would. You have to be really careful. The bigger the pig, the more dangerous it is. They will attack you.
yeah. If
yes,
you do fall down in it. See, that's what happened in The Wizard of Oz. Dorothy had fallen in the pig pen,
uh-huh.
and the guy who played the cowardly
lion. Was that the Washington, D.C.?
And the thing is the one that saved her from that.
Right. The swamp. Drain the swamp. So, but okay, so we're going to talk about the Dresden Holocaust. And we're taking a break from our series on World War II. Actually, the series of the history of white genocide, starting with the World War I. And how the Jews started World War I and were slaughtering Germans and starving Germans from the outset of the Versailles Treaty, and how Hitler was trying to do something about it, and that's why World War II happened. Of course, it was Churchill who was behind World War II. So we see in every case there's a Jew behind all the violence. So I'm going to, let's say this day in history, the firebombing of Dresden. Let's go there. February 13th, which is this coming Monday, 1945, firebombing of Dresden. On the evening of February 13th, 1945, a series of Allied firebombing raids begins against the German city of Dresden, and Dresden was not the only city. Other German cities were targeted, reducing the Florence of the Elbe to rubble and flames and killing as many as 135,000 people. Another historian says 600,000, but that may be a number total of all the civilians firebombed by Churchill and the Jews who sponsored him. It was the single most destructive bombing of the war, including Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And we'll have something to say about those two cities later on today. And all the more horrendous because little, if anything, was accomplished strategically, since the Germans were already on the verge of surrender. And that was also true of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It was simply wanton genocide.
Yeah, these cities weren't military cities where military things were being made. These were just civilian cities. And they were, Christian cities, just like Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Right.
But the thing is, you want to notice here again, I always want to point out to all the people the patterns of the enemy, as I have been through this whole series and as I do every chance I get. Here again, this is the true Holocaust World War II, right?
That's right.
But they claimed that the Germans did the Holocaust,
yes.
when in fact the Jews did this with our Chavez Goy race traitor military. They did a Holocaust on the Germans, not the Germans did the
yes.
Holocaust on the Jews.
Well, this
you
is
understand
why, yes.
that they always do this.
Right. Well, they have
okay,
to.
Okay,
do-
I don't. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's absolutely a totally important point, because that's why the Jews had to invent the so-called Holocaust of the Jews to distract, take attention away from the real Holocausting that the Jews were doing using our military. Okay, so you'll see that there's nothing in the history books or on mainstream television, the History Channel, about the Bolshevik Holocaust of Christian Russia. Nothing about the Jewish Holocaust of Dresden and Berlin. Nothing about the Jewish Holocaust of the Christian cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Those two were the most Christian cities in Japan. Why were the two most Christian cities targeted? Take a guess. Maybe there's a wedge.
Yeah, maybe there's a wedge. I mean, that's it. That's all you have to say. Mm-hmm. They hate Christianity. It's that simple.
Even if it's not, you know something, Eli?
When you look at this, right, when you see what happens in Dresden, see, it's called firebombing.
That's right.
When you want to describe what a Holocaust really is, it's a burning. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrificial burning.
Yes.
And so what happened to the Jews is an impossibility that they were put in ovens and burned. First, they were put in showers and killed with some kind of thing, and then they were burned one at a time, as if Germany had the fuel, as if Germany had the time,
yeah, right.
Like as if Germany had enough ovens, never mind anything else.
Right.
There was zero Holocaust in that situation.
That's correct.
And so when you want to define, could you look up the word Holocaust, or you want me to do it? Because you really should read that definition before you go on here, because you're going to see that this is the definition of the Holocaust right here.
Yeah, well, it's a sacrifice by fire, as I understand it.
That's what I just said, yes.
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah.
You want me to look it up or no?
Yeah, go ahead, yeah. Well, I'll just keep reading while you look it up. Among the conclusions reached at the February 1945 Yalta Conference of the Allied Powers was the resolution that the Allies would engage in concerted strategic bombing raids against German cities known for war production and manufacturing in an effort to bring the Nazi war machine to a crashing halt. A tragic irony of the raid on Dresden, a medieval city renowned for its rich artistic and architectural treasures, is that during the war it had never been a site of war production or major industry. Both Allies and Germans alike have argued over the real purpose of the firebombing. The ostensible official rationale was that Dresden was a major communication center, and bombing it would hamper the German ability to convey messages to its army, which was battling Soviet forces at the time. But the extent of the destruction was for many disproportionate to the stated strategic goal. Many believe that the attack was simply an attempt to punish the Germans and weaken their morale and commit genocide against the German people. Deliberate, wanton genocide. Okay, back to you.
Okay. What did you just hear, ladies and gentlemen? Now I'm going to give you a short version here. Holocaust. Destruction or slaughter on a mass scale, especially caused by fire or nuclear war.
Wow.
And by the way, George Bush, that's not nuclear war. That's nuclear war.
All right.
Now, number two, synonyms, cataclysm, disaster, catastrophe. Then it says number two, historical. A Jewish sacrificial offering that is burned completely on an altar.
Uh-huh. Right.
A Jewish, not Israelite, a Jewish sacrificial offering, right? So if you think about that, let's just look real quickly at Webster and see what Webster might say. And of course, they would put this in there. The mass slaughter of European civilians and especially Jews by the Nazis during World War II.
Yeah.
But you understand that is today's dictionary. If I was to look that up in an older dictionary, I think you'd be in for a surprise of what that might tell you.
Yes.
So what you're going to find out as we read these articles today to you, see, it just told you that it was by fire or by nuclear war. What happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
Yeah.
Nuclear war.
There you go. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And what was happening? These were firebombing. These people looked like charcoal. They were in piles.
They looked
like charcoal. They had been burnt to a crisp. All right, Eli, back to you.
More than 3,400 tons, folks, of explosives were dropped on the city by 800 American and British aircraft. And this is wave after wave for several days. It wasn't just the February the 13th. The firestorm created by the 2 days of bombing set the city burning for many more days, littering the streets with charred corpses, including many children. 8 square miles of the city was ruined, and the total body count was between 35,000 and 135,000. An approximation is all that was possible, given that the city was filled with many refugees from farther east. So nobody really knows, and the total was probably way more than that, because Dresden was a refugee camp Germans fleeing from war zones and from the east. The hospitals that were left standing could not handle the numbers of injured and burned, and mass burials became necessary. Among, by the way, those photographs and movies of bulldozers putting bodies into holes in the ground, those were taken at Dresden, folks. Those were not taken in Nazi concentration camps.
Okay. I also believe that those were taken with, you know, anybody can, the Jews could get Nazi uniform, or I'm not going to call them Nazi. The Jews could get German uniforms. Right. And I believe in the Gulag, when they were doing that in 1917, a lot of those things were from there. Mm-hmm. They dress themselves in German uniforms. Who likes to use bulldozers today?
Yeah, right. The Israelis, right?
They just seem to like to use bulldozers. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if I've ever seen the Germans using bulldozers, but I know I've seen the Jews use them a lot. Yeah. And so I really believe that many of those things are from the from Russia, from the Bolshevik Revolution. Yeah, right. They stood there and they took the film with people standing there with German uniforms on. Yes. Anybody can do that. Yes. Hollywood can do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a final note here, among the American POWs who were in Dresden during the raid was novelist Kurt Vonnegut, who I believe is Jewish, who conveyed his experience in his classic anti-war novel Slaughterhouse-Five. So even a Jew by the name of Vonnegut was so disgusted. He called it a slaughterhouse. A slaughterhouse. So, folks,
you know that. I was going to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I was just to tell people that this is Jewish doing, and it's about time we see through the smokescreen of Jewish propaganda and side stories, and never telling anything of importance, but only what the Jews deem to be important, which is nothing but propaganda. Back to you.
We will talk about the Morgenthau plan. We will. I've already talked about on my show about what to do with Germany, mm-hmm. and the Hutten plan, and Germany must perish. These were all things that were read by that FDR made sure everybody was reading. Mm-hmm. Because this was to be carried out even after he left office. Truman carried it out, and Eisenhower certainly carried it out as well.
Right.
So it was an ongoing thing,
General
the slaughter
Eisenhower.
Of the Germans.
Yes.
We will talk about the those kinds of things later. Today is about Dresden, though. But you will see that the proof of the pudding is in the tasting, and you certainly will know that, without a doubt, who's done all this, who really performed the Holocaust, and who is really guilty.
Yes. I want to play the audio of a video here. This is Hellstorm, the Dresden Holocaust. And so I'm going to pause it here and there for comment. But it's 18 minutes, but I'm going to play about 7 minutes of it or so. So give a listen, folks.
During World War II, Germany was subjected to an unrelenting assault from the sky. Although American and British reports referred to the air campaign as carpet bombing, saturation bombing, or unrestricted bombing. The old, the young, and the weak who were forced to endure the nightmare, and who made up the overwhelming majority of its victims, called it by a simpler, more accurate name, terror bombing.
Terror bombing. David, who are the original terrorists of the modern world?
and are still the terrorists, mm-hmm. despite the fact that they're trying to put it on the Muslims, you mean?
Right.
Yes, the Jews have always been the terrorists. The first terrorist acts on American soil were done by the JDL,
right.
the Jewish Defense League. The terrorist acts and the so-called play terrorist acts, the false flags, are done by the Jewish Juden, I call them the Juden Press.
Right.
The Jewish Press, okay?
Yeah. ADL.
All the things that have been done over in Europe, all the things that have been, like Brussels, I told you, they admitted that was done because of the boycott. The mm-hmm. foreign minister of so-called Israel said that because of the BDS boycott, that bombing in Brussels took place. The King David Hotel, etc.
Yes.
The Jurgen.
Right.
You know about the Jurgen, right?
The Jurgen, I-R-G-U-N, yes. Yeah, I believe Menachem Begin was a member of the Irgun. He personally cut the throats of two British soldiers with a piano wire. So the Israeli state has had more literal cutthroats as presidents than any other nation. Okay.
And I thought they were our greatest ally. Yes, I can't believe this. It's not
terrorist,
true.
Terrorist allies. Yeah. That's folks, you don't know half of it because the Jewish media never tells you. Let's continue.
The terror campaign was no accident. It was the secret plan of British Prime Minister Winston Churchill.
Who?
Uh-oh.
Winston?
The guy
Churchill.
Who started the war.
Yep.
The guy that was paid $200 million through a focus group by some Freemasonic Jew.
Right?
That's who.
We revealed that last time, folks. The Jews Churchill, Rosenfeld, and Stalin were all nothing but puppets dancing to the tune of the international Jew banksters, folks. They're the ones who arranged both World Wars I and World War II, and Korea and Vietnam, etc. The list of Holocausts committed by the Jews against white people is endless.
Isn't he Sir Winston Churchill?
Sir, yes. He was
okay, so that means he's a Freemasonic Jew, just like FDR is a 33rd degree Jew. And then we know Stalin was married to a Jew, and supposedly he has Jewish. I believe he was a Freemasonic Jew himself. So they all had these three things in common.
Trotsky was a Freemason.
No doubt he was a Jew, too. His name was Lev Bronstein.
That's right.
From New York.
That's right. Freemason, Jew, communist. Yeah. Let's continue.
Full power of the Royal Air Force against German civilians. To inflict as much damage, to destroy as many homes, and to kill as many men, women, and children as possible. Said Churchill, German cities will be subjected to an ordeal the like of which has never been experienced by a country in continuity, severity, and magnitude. To achieve this end, there are no lengths of violence to which we will not go.
All right. Did you hear that statement, folks?
And what did Hitler do? He let them go when he had them, and he could have done that to them.
Yeah. Yeah, he had the whole British army surrounded at, where was it? I forget the location. But he chose to let them go.
Dunkirk,
yeah. He could have annihilated the entire British army virtually at the beginning of the war.
But he didn't want to kill his racial brethren.
Right, yeah. So Churchill shows his true colors here. He is a genocidal maniac, Jew puppet. That's what he is. We will inflict upon the German people bombing so severe in magnitude that we will go to lengths of violence which no one has ever gone.
Why do you think he drank so much?
Yeah, he couldn't chain himself.
I mean, literally, to try to stop the conscience. You know how the Led Zeppelin song says, knock it back with pills?
Yeah, right.
he's talking about your conscience.
That's right,
Right. If your conscience hits, knock it back with pills.
Right?
So, I mean, a lot of people who you find to be big alcoholics, like this particular Jew, he was at the by himself drinking these bottles every day.
Yep. Yeah.
He was trying to knock it back. I don't know how he could have a conscience.
Yeah.
But
right.
He was trying to knock something back.
Well, maybe he had. Maybe he the thought of burning children in Dresden maybe crept up into his mind every once in a while, but I doubt it.
Okay. I doubt it too.
Maybe it's because he still owed money to the Rothschilds. Right? Will I ever get out of debt? All right, let's continue. And by the way, there's photographs of charred bodies laying on the streets of Dresden here.
The pattern was repeated time and again across Germany. Hamburg, Berlin, Nuremberg, Darmstadt, Cologne, Stuttgart, Würzburg. After first blasting a town to splinters, the British and American bombers quickly returned in hopes of catching survivors and rescuers in the open and igniting with firebombs all that remained. When the roaring bombers released their lethal cargo, A veritable rain of fire descended on the targeted town. The thousands of small fires were joined to form one huge blaze, creating a vortex of wind and flame.
And you can hear the cries of agony of someone burning to death.
Some miraculously survived the inferno, reaching safety in rivers, canals, and parks. Thousands more, however, did not. When the raids finally ended and the firestorms began to recede, rescue workers rushed to free those trapped underground. When would-be rescuers finally broke through to buried bunkers, they often found scenes of unimaginable horror. In cellars suffering direct hits, walls were awash in blood, with bone, brains, and body parts splattered everywhere. In some shelters, broken water mains had slowly drowned the occupants. Ruptured.
Can you imagine thinking you're safe in a bomb shelter and then a water main erupts and then you drown instead of being bombed? Can you imagine? This is.
But not only that, this is a city that has nothing to do with the war.
That's right.
It's just do you know if you were riding a bicycle on a side road and the plane saw you, it would come and shoot you to death? Even if you had, like, say you were riding in a one-horse cart or something.
Right.
They'd kill you. Because it was the plan to, Germany must perish. We must kill as many of these people as possible. Now, I want you to think about something. You know, were the people in World War II, our soldiers, and all the British and all were they fighting for our freedom, dear listener? I'm asking you that question.
Are we more free?
I wonder if you might answer that for me.
Yeah. We're certainly not
more
free.
Is killing your brother freeing you and protecting your freedom? With us killing these people with this cruelty like this, and you haven't even heard anything yet.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning of what we have to tell you. Do you think that that our soldiers were fighting for your freedom to protect your freedom? Is killing innocent people protecting your freedom? I just want you to answer that question for yourself.
Yeah.
Sorry, Eli. Back to you.
Well, let me answer it. What was really going on was the Jews are trying to prevent the German people from awakening. As many people have accurately said, including us here at Eurofolk Radio, the major crime that Hitler committed was he threw out the Jewish bankers, which, you know, you can't do that, right? They have assassinated more of our presidents because they tried to get rid of the Jewish banking system. And in fact, that's the only reason why any of our presidents have been assassinated, okay? Because they've kicked out or tried to kick out the Jewish banksters. Andrew Jackson did it. They've attempted on his life. But at point blank range, the two pistols misfired, failed to go off.
I think that must have been Yahweh's doing.
Sure was. And they succeeded in killing Lincoln because he issued the greenbacks government money instead of Jew banker money, et cetera, et cetera. So, folks, you have to realize the perfidious nature of these evil Jews. They have such an intense hatred for the white race that they will literally stop at nothing to destroy us. They have no conscience whatsoever. They actually enjoy making us suffer. That's what you have to understand. And this goes down to the littlest Jew, because they will, if there's a big Jew who can't do the job, they'll tap a little Jew to do the job, right? And then if there is a Jew who tries to resist, they will put pressure on him and threaten to assassinate that Jew if he doesn't do the job.
Do you remember last week?
Yeah. Well,
do you remember what it said, that if you go against Jewish interests, that even every single Jew down to any level,
right,
worked and boycotted the Germans?
That's right.
Because they went against the Jewish interests.
That's right.
In other words, it's the same thing as you're talking about with changing the money over to. See, there's no reason for us to even bother with the Federal Reserve. The government can print its own money and not have any interest whatsoever. And
right.
They could be giving interest loans out to us to build
interest
our businesses
free.
And build
interest
gross
free.
Domestic product, et cetera, et cetera. But you see, that would be going against the Jews' interests.
That's correct. That's correct. See, but they never spell out what the Jewish interests are in their public proclamations, okay? That's for us to figure out. And we in Identity have figured it out. And we in Identity are the ones who figured it all out, right? We know who and what the Jews are. They're the children of the devil, as Yahshua Messiah himself has told us many times in the Gospels. And of course, we know they're the Edomites, and we know what Yahweh thinks of Edomites. This is about the three-minute mark, about 4 minutes more.
Steam pipes had boiled alive other screaming victims. Some bunkers contained only dozens of log-like shapes, charred and shriveled to only a quarter of their original size. Dogs and cats had been reduced to the size of rats. In still other cellars, only a powdery gray ash remained. Rescuers who entered some bunkers found floors covered in up to a foot of greasy fat. The victims rendered down into a dark liquid. When word first filtered to the outside world of the butchery being visited upon the women and children of Germany by the Royal Air Force, the British government initially tried to deflect criticism by simple denial, well aware that many voices at home and abroad would denounce such slaughter. Spokesmen were trotted out on a regular basis to solemnly assuage the world that the targets were always military, never civilian.
Okay, blatant lie. Blatant lie.
And wouldn't they say the Germans are bombing hospitals
yeah.
with babies in them,
right.
and the Germans are bombing,
chopping
you know,
their
while
hands
they're the
off.
Ones that would do this, the Germans wouldn't even do that.
That's right. That's right. So you can see the animus, the Jewish animus toward the white race, especially the German people. The Jews must know that the Germans are Judah, because they have a special hatred for Germans. They really do.
Of course they know
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
May I just interject one thing about this whole thing? This is not all. I believe that the 600,000 dead in that city is more viable, because 135,000 sounds way too low for the amount of bombing that went on. But the reason they bombed, I want you to realize what Hitler had done previously was they were working on the architecture of Germany. They had built some beautiful new structures. They were building the Autobahn. They were bringing art into Germany. And so every positive thing that the Germans brought to Germany, the Jews wanted to destroy, including the architecture, including the art, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Believe me, it's all about that.
Yeah, it was destroying everything white and German and Christian. That's what it was all about. Let's continue.
The truth, however, could not be fully contained, and critics of these war crimes spoke up.
The ruthless mass bombing of congested cities is as great a threat to the integrity of the human spirit as anything which has yet occurred on this planet. There is no military or political advantage which can justify this blasphemy.
Although it was considered treasonous for members of the RAF to criticize the bombing campaign, the conscience of some was overwhelmed by the hell being unleashed.
There were people down there being fried to death in melted asphalt in the roads. They were being burnt up, and we were shuffling incendiary bombs into this holocaust.
All right, there's that word. He used the right word. Holocaust.
There you are, and that is the true word for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know something else that you got to realize about this? These people in these cities are totally defenseless.
That's right.
There's nobody there to defend them whatsoever. So this is a bigger crime than you could ever imagine. This is war crime in operation. There's nobody there to defend themselves. These are women and children and people that are in a city that has nothing to do with the military. There are no military to shoot the planes down. There's nothing.
Yes. A completely defenseless city, absolutely defenseless. And as you said, the jet fighters and airplanes that they had, they were mowing people down with their machine guns, people trying to flee Dresden. So they were killing them, not allowing them to escape.
Can you imagine doing that? How you could live with yourself later and tell yourself lies like, I fought in the war. I'm a war hero. I protected our nation here, this wonderful nation of America. I protected the citizens of America. And what I did was I did a whole bunch of war crimes. And this is just the beginning of the war crimes. Wait till you see what happens next.
Well, David,
I told you about the Geneva Convention.
Right.
I told you that the Germans obeyed the Geneva Convention, but the so-called allies, they still today torture people.
They still
don't obey any of these things today. So who really is evil?
Yeah, that's right. Well, America under the Jews, Britain under the Jews, any other nation that's ruled by Jews doing their bidding. Okay, that's the way it is, folks. And our military in Afghanistan and Iraq and elsewhere, in Benghazi, etc., committing war crimes.
It's the same exact thing. These people have no defense at all.
You're right.
Shock and awe. Shock and awe.
Yeah, they're killing civilians. Right? That's why the rest of the world hates America, not realizing it's the Jews behind all of this ridiculous and absurd violence. Let's continue.
But the one positive thing, Eli, is they were doing that to free those people
and bring
democracy to them.
Death
so
is
that
liberating.
They live free like we do.
Right? I don't see any democracy over there, David. I don't think it's working too well.
Well, they got the central bank of Iraq
that's really
once you have the democracy, and that's just a little world play, the theater,
right.
You have something to say about what happens in your country and your government.
Debtocracy.
It's the central bank that is the key that they got in all these countries, Afghanistan,
right?
etc. And Gaddafi, his country was acting like even better than America. Those people were sharing in the profit of the nation.
Right.
The Jews couldn't have that. There's no middleman there.
That's right. The Jew was cut out. That's right. That's why they had to kill Gaddafi, because he was cutting the Jew out just like Hitler did. Right.
Well, they were trying to free them and bring democracy to them.
Yeah, right.
They were trying to free them by bombing them into the Stone Age.
Yeah.
That's what we do. And that's how our freedoms are protected here in America.
So you have to be in debt in order to be free.
Yes. Yes.
That's the
this
Jewish
isn't
version
George
of freedom.
Orwell's 1984, is it?
Yeah, right.
Perpetual war.
Or perpetual peace, right? Perpetual, folks. Oh, man. Yahshua, come quickly. Get rid of these vipers. Jeez. End this. Make it this year, 2017. We're tired of having to live under this Jewish dictatorship. But let's continue.
This time it'll be the real Holocaust.
Oh, that's right. This will be the real Holocaust of the Jews.
I felt terribly sorry for the people in that fire that I was helping to stoke up.
As a symbol of the Third Reich, and as the most obvious example of Germany's will to fight on, more bombs were devoted to Berlin than any other German city. But it is another place that has become most widely associated with the terror campaigns against Germany. Dresden. Since Dresden had suffered only two small raids in 5 years of war, many assumed the city's salvation was due to its irreplaceable treasures, ornate palaces, world-renowned museums and art galleries, its towering, centuries-old cathedrals.
See?
It was felt that even terror bombers lacked hatred sufficient to destroy such beauty.
They don't know the Jews.
Yes.
Right? They don't know
But
the
see
Jews.
What I was telling you? He just confirmed it.
That's right. About a minute and a half more.
Others surmised that since Dresden had almost no heavy industry, and what little it did have had no bearing on the war, the enemy simply did not deem the city a viable target. To some, the 26,000 Allied POWs interred in the town appeared a more logical answer.
26,000 Allied POWs. So they were incinerated too. Our own people.
Well, the Jews don't mind as long as they were white.
Yeah, is that right? Although Kurt Vonnegut was a Jew, there were a couple of Jews.
Others thought that perhaps it was the estimated 500,000 refugees jamming the city, many of whom had fled Soviet atrocities in the east, that kept Dresden safe from bombing. Indeed, Everywhere one looked in Dresden were ragged women and orphan children, all cast adrift by the war. Despite the dire situation, as war closed in, Dresdeners were determined on the night of February 13, 1945, to enjoy an annual event known in America as Mardi Gras, but celebrated in Germany as Fasching.
Fasching.
Women and children, along with a few remaining men, many in costume, flooded the streets of Dresden to celebrate the event one last time before Germany's looming defeat. Just before 10 p.m., sirens began wailing. There wasn't a panic. Most residents simply ignored the sounds. Even had there been any air raid shelters, few would have fled to them, for there seemed little doubt on this cold yet cheery night that, like the 171 false alarms that preceded it, this warning too would end in nothing.
171 false alarms.
Lovely.
Yeah. But on February 13th, and it included Valentine's Day because it went on for the next day, February 14th, the Allies bombed Dresden and other German cities to smithereens in a firebombing holocaust that, if you were there, it would have seemed like a never-ending holocaust.
Now think about that, what you just said. So this was on the 13th. Hello.
Yep.
And then 13, and the month is 2, right? That'd be 15, 13, 14, 15. 1 times 5 is 5. They always have that 5. But think about what tomorrow is. The St. Valentine's Massacre.
Right.
I want you to realize one more thing. That the little Cupid shooting the arrows was Nimrod at the top of the tower shooting at Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the same thing. It continued through through Valentine's Day, which is a representation of going against the establishment of heaven, like I've been saying. Lucifer, you know, like Alinsky talked about how he was proud that his father, the devil, Halel, had gone against the establishment. He was the first one to rebel against this establishment. That's what Alinsky said. So they are rebelling against the Israelite nations, against the establishment of heaven on earth.
Yes.
Which is also going against the establishment of heaven, because this is the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
So notice that, like Nimrod shooting the arrows up at Yahweh and attacking Yahweh on the 14th, you know, on what we call the 14th. Here it is. They're doing it on the 13th and the 14th of February. And it's a holocaust. It's a ritual
holocaust.
Sacrifice.
That's right, a ritual sacrifice. Amen. All right, so obviously these videos and books that we're citing here have never become bestsellers. You won't find them on the New York Times bestseller list because they don't want you to even know about these things. Next, we're going to do The Greatest Story Never Told. And it says, here's the quote, Dresden, the worst war crime of World War II, 600,000 dead. General Field Marshal Keitel said that 600,000 were killed in Dresden, Randolph Johann Hansen. And given the fact that Dresden was a refugee center, we already mentioned there's 26,000 Allied soldiers being held prisoner there. Okay. And who knows what the... It was a very large city. At least probably 135,000 people lived there already, civilians, right? Their average population. So given the fact that it was a refugee center, 600,000 is probably not too high an estimate. Some 70 years ago, the Allies decided to make this of this... about it's 6 million, 4 million, 2 million, you know, 1.5 million... What's the difference, right?
But it's still 6 million, even if it's 1.5 million.
That's right. It's still 6 million, no matter what. Okay, well, 600,000 doesn't quite compare, but this was a real Holocaust, folks. It was not the fake Holocaust that the Jews are always crying about with their Schumer tears. Dresden, the worst war crime of World War II. The Holocaust unleashed on Dresden had no strategic or tactical advantage whatsoever for the Americans or the British. Dresden was one of the most beautiful cities in Germany, probably in the world, dubbed the Florence of the Elbe because of its world-renowned collection of Baroque architecture. It was known as a showpiece of culture. It had no military bases, no major communication centers or heavy industry. It had no air defense. In the last months of the war, it was known as Die Lazarettstadt. It had been declared a hospital town. It was also known as Flüchtlingsstadt, the city of refugees. So what we're seeing here, as the video we just watched, this is being confirmed here. There was no military target whatsoever in Dresden, despite the lies of the Allies. And even, you know, we quoted Churchill earlier. He said we're going to unleash a Holocaust on civilians. All right. And by the way, folks, it was Churchill who started bombing civilian cities in Germany. It wasn't Hitler that started that. Hitler did that in retaliation against Churchill, okay? So all people ever hear about is Blitzkrieg, but the Blitzkrieg was simply the quick strike. That's all that meant, quick strike of the German army as they moved along. It wasn't the civilian saturation bombing, terror bombing that the Allies did against civilians in German cities. There were very, very few British, for example, who died, civilians, who died during World War II. Nothing close.
Did you notice something else, Eli, that you have the Jews with their pseudo-Holocaust? You see, there's a real Holocaust that happens, and then there's the imitation. This is what their father does. This is what they do. You see what I mean? There's your pattern of the enemy again. There's a real Holocaust, and then there's an imitation. And that's how they always do it. But what's funny is Yahweh's got the last laugh with the real Holocaust, the second real Holocaust that's coming to them. Yes. So I love it that he gets the last laugh here.
Yes. Yeah, he will. He will. Yeah, despite what Rahm Emanuel thinks he's going to do between now and 2018. The first wave of bombs struck at 10 p.m. on February 13, 1945, dropping high explosives, you know, to increase the terror. They bombed at night. Okay? They bombed at night.
That's dirty. Yeah, dirty.
That's right. Dropping high explosive bombs on the old town to blast the roofs off buildings in preparation for incendiary devices. It knocked out the air raid warning system and caused massive destruction and death. It also destroyed the fire halls and water mains. The next wave brought the fire. It turned the Altstadt, the old town, into a howling ocean of fire, 3 miles long and 2 miles wide. Air temperatures rose to 1,100 degrees Fahrenheit. Fahrenheit 465, I think he said, is the title of his whatever it is. Winds up to 100 miles sucked all oxygen into the center of the storm. Hundreds of thousands of people were burned alive or otherwise fell victim to the second carpet bombing, followed quickly by a third. Thousands suffocated in cellars as the oxygen was sucked out of the bunkers and pulled toward the blaze to feed the flames. That'd probably be the most compassionate way to die, is to have a lack of oxygen. Thousands more were hurled into the air like rag dogs or dolls and sucked by the ferocious winds right into the inferno. The air suction of the fire was so strong that it uprooted trees and lifted roofs from the houses miles away. Utter panic struck the people. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, David, being in the center of such a Holocaust?
Well, I know the Jews will imagine it because they said they were in a Holocaust, but when they admitted that they'd been lying about it, they said, but it was real in my mind.
Yes.
How many stories have we heard like that? No, seriously.
Yeah.
How many stories have we heard like that? I just had a news article on my EFR news. You should hear this week's news. It's just packed. And they come up with about 5 million fake Holocaust stories, and they've admitted to it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Why did you skip this part? Listen to this. In the early weeks of 1945, the coldest winter in a century, Dresden was swollen with refugees fleeing the advance of a Soviet army. See, this is what I was going to tell you, is that the Soviets are going to come and they're going to rape and they're going to kill and they're going to murder. And they sent, you know, like some a lot of communist soldiers, you know, even from China and places to kill. And listen to this. So it says, by then, the Soviets stood on German soil, and Elia Ehrenberg, Stalin's Jewish propaganda demon, the monster master journalist of hate, had for years hammered away in broadcast after broadcast aimed at the Red Army and repeated in millions and millions of leaflets, kill, kill, kill. Nobody is innocent, neither the living nor the yet unborn. Is that not a Jewish precept? Hear that?
Yeah,
kill,
yeah.
Kill, kill. Nobody is innocent, neither the living nor the yet unborn. Abortion? You know, child ritual murder sacrifice?
Right.
Hello. If you have not killed a German a day, you have not done your duty to the Soviet motherland. Now the Red Army was approaching and by mid-February stood only 60 miles away from Dresden. Each new refugee. So in other words, if you were going to escape the firebombing of Dresden.
Yes.
They were going to pick you up anyway.
That's right.
Because we're going to kill as many Germans as possible. You see? So let's go on. Each new refugee train, each new river of wagons struck in cars brought fearful accounts of horrendous Soviet atrocities, murder, torture, and brutal mass rapes. Does that sound like those are allies, that those are the good guys to you?
Right.
Hundreds of thousands of refugees flooded into the city of Dresden. The inhabitants moved closer together and took them all in. But even so, there was no room for all. Most of the refugees lived in the city's main park and in what was known as the Altstadt, the old town. Weeping children lay on the cold and wet ground huddled against shivering dogs. By then, the Allies knew the war was lost for Germany. No one in a decision-making capacity, civilian or military, believed that the German Reich could survive, much less than be a threat to the Allied military juggernaut. So even though they knew that, what I just said right there, they were going to continue to kill and maim and rape and, avoid the Geneva Convention. And we will see what they did to these people in the future show. Over to you.
You know what happened to Elia Ehrenberg after the war? He moved to America and became a movie producer.
Oh.
Right? This genocidal maniac, more blood on his hands than any white person ever, okay? And more blood on his hands even than most Jews.
Did he change his name?
Yes, he changed his name.
And do you know what his name was? Because I'd like to view the films that this piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Do you know his name or no?
No, well, if you want to continue reading, I'll see if I can find it. Okay.
Okay, I will do that because that's kind of important, wouldn't you think? Because if he was a major master propagandist, no wonder they made him a movie maker in America.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'll continue. So in what can only be described as a premeditated institutional act of terror and deliberately planned mass murder, the decision was made by British and U.S. Air Force commanders at the prodding of the sadistic Churchill, Roosevelt, Morgenthau trio to exterminate these hapless people trapped utterly defenseless in Dresden. Oh, what Yahweh's going to do with Churchill, Roosevelt, and Morgenthau? In January 1945, what I would have done to them if I were there and killing was legal, if I could have got my hand on any one of those Jews, I would have choked them to death.
Right?
In January of 1945, it was decided that several large cities in East Germany that had escaped heavy bombing should now be subjected to area bombing. See, if it wasn't enough that with the other bombing, they would do area bombing to wreak havoc on German morale so as to pressure Germany to surrender sooner. Churchill himself wanted more than two cities a month razed. until none was left. So on February 13th and 14th, 1945, nearly 1,200 British and American bombers, followed by waves of bullet-spitting fighter bombers, conducted a triple air raid on Dresden in aerial holocaust. Holocaust. Mm-hmm. The code word for this act of terrorism was clarion. You ever hear of that medicine?
Clarion?
Yeah. So the code word for this Holocaust and this terrorism was clarion. So these Germans are supposed to be wicked people that do all these wicked things, and we see that we are terrorizing people, that we are going against the Geneva Convention, that the ends justify the means. The underground, so to speak, did a lot of very illegal and immoral things. Mm-hmm. And Saul Alinsky talks about that as well in his book. But he says there's no problem because the ends justify the means. That's a major Masonic principle, by the way.
Right.
See, this is to justify. If a cop goes in to – he's a Freemason, and he goes in and say one of his brothers is on there, or he wants to get you into jail – and he lies, it doesn't matter because the ends justify the means. Now, of course, Yahweh would never go with any of these precepts. So you have to know who the God of the Lodge is. It's the same God as it is for all the religions. And it's the same God of the Jews, their father, the devil, Lucifer or Halel, whatever you want to call him. So that's the only way ends justify the means. So a lot of this went on. So in other words, they didn't feel guilty that they were bombing hospitals because Germany must perish. Morgenthau.
Yes.
The Morgenthau plan, etc.
Yes. Okay, I must be thinking of another Jew with a similar sounding name, because it says here that Ehrenberg, he became a novelist, but he was befriended by guess who? Picasso. Picasso painted his portrait, Ilya Ehrenberg's grave, with a wire reproduction of his portrait by Picasso.
It wasn't Otto Preminger, would it be? He was a communist.
Yeah, he was a commie. But yeah, he was a low-ranking commie. Maybe I'll think of the correct name. But here you go. Another article about Ehrenberg shows that the man, Ilya Ehrenberg, the man who invented the 6 million... This is from Rents.com. He was a prolific writer, celebrated author of various novels and other works of fiction. Yeah, all fiction, including the 6 million. He was the top Soviet propagandist during the Second World War. He was a notorious liar and pathological monster. He was a Jew. As a leading member of the Soviet-sponsored Jewish Anti-Fascist Committee, Ilya Ehrenberg appeared at fundraising rallies in... He did come to the United States, raising support for the communist cause while displaying fake bars of soap. Allegedly manufactured by the Germans from the corpses of dead Jews. But Ehrenberg,
like, as if you would wash with soap from Jews' fat, or any human fat, for that matter, right?
Right.
Now they don't use those anymore, by the way, Eli, because of DNA. They've now found that was all a lie, so all of a sudden there are no bars of soap.
Right. But Ehrenberg was perhaps most notorious for his viciously anti-German hate propaganda in World War II. In it, he exhorted Soviet troops to kill all Germans as they encountered without pity. In one leaflet entitled Kill, Ehrenberg incited the simple Russian soldier to treat the Germans as subhuman. The final paragraph concludes, I think you already read it, but anyway... The Germans are not human beings. From now on, the word German is the most horrible curse. From now on, the word German strikes us to the quick. We have nothing to discuss. We will not get excited. We will kill. If you have not killed at least one German a day, you have wasted that day. You already quoted that from another source.
Nice, huh?
Yeah.
Now, is he a hater?
Oh, that's love.
Is this a freedom fighter that we're speaking about?
He's a social justice warrior.
Yeah, he'd make a good lefty today. He sounds like just like these crazy idiots that democracy has produced. If you're done with that, I'll read a little more about something. Yeah. But if not, let me
go ahead. Go ahead. Please continue.
Wait till you hear this. When all was said and done, the column of smoke could be seen 50 miles away and stood 15,000 feet high. More than three-fifths of Dresden was destroyed by bombing raids lasting more than 14 hours. The Allied air raid left 24,866 homes destroyed, 11 square miles of prime real estate, and irreplaceable cultural treasures devastating 35,000 recognizable corpses available to be identified, and hundreds of thousands of unrecognizable ones. Mm-hmm. How many? Nobody knows for sure. Most honest estimates ranging from 350,000 to 500,000 dead, many of whom were liquefied into a jellied mass that melted into asphalt of the roads, were left in piles of ashes amid a city almost totally in ashes and ruins. One newspaper account published in a German paper, Eldenos 1-386, whatever that means, lists 480,000 dead. That count looks like this. 37,000 babies and toddlers, 46,000 school-age children, 55,000 wounded and sick in the hospitals, including their doctors, nurses, and other personnel, 12,000 rescue personnel, 330,000 dead, simply described as men and women. Just think of Hiroshima. That city's atom casualties were 71,879. During the entire war, England suffered less than 50,000 casualties from bombings. 380 persons died in bomb raids on the British munitions and aircraft-producing town of Coventry, England, a raid which was declared a German war crime. Right? Hello!
Uh-huh.
You see, they declared what they did a war crime, but what they did is nothing but justice.
Yeah, yeah. We're the good guys. We're working for the Jews, right?
This is unbelievable, man. Yeah. You know, it is just unspeakable what these people have got away with. You wonder why we lost two-thirds of our race, ladies and gentlemen? You got to realize that the Civil War was nothing but killing white people. I know there was a few blacks out there or whatever, but it was mainly our white brothers and sisters, the prime stock of America. Mm-hmm. And then we go to these other wars, and we die in these other wars, World War I, World War II, and et cetera. And on the child murder ritual sacrifice, you wonder why we've lost two-thirds of our race?
Yeah.
What do you say, Eli?
Yeah, well, it's amazing they can do. The only reason they can get away with all of this is because they have absolute total control of the media. And the truth about the World War I, World War II, and all wars will never be told until the Jews are removed from position of controlling our media. That's the bottom line. And so they're going to keep doing this as Rahm Emanuel says, we're going to just keep doing what we're doing until you people wake up and stop us.
They're in it for the long haul, he said.
That's right.
Remember, they know that. They don't mind if Donald Trump if there's a little setback here, they'll still, he used the word subversion.
Mm-hmm.
If I had read you in the article, there was another, he used the word subversion, that they're going to subvert Donald Trump.
Right.
And I didn't read that part of the quote, but because I didn't want to go on too long about it. But you see, they're telling exactly what they do. That's what they do, is they come into a nation and subvert it and destroy it every way possible that they can. You got to realize that the media, and when I say you, I don't mean you, Eli. When I'm saying that anytime, I don't mean you. You obviously are the choir. There's no point in preaching to you. You know more than I know. But when you talk about the media, you're not just talking about magazines. You're not just talking about newspapers. You're not just talking about Hollywood and the news programs, television. Remember that they've got control of all the publishing houses as well. That's why people can't publish books, because they won't allow them to.
That's right.
Those two books that Kat Mankiewicz has never been translated in from Polish that we read last week, remember?
That's right. Yeah.
There ain't a soul on the earth that wants to translate those two books.
Yeah, and 200 Years Together by Solzhenitsyn, is still in the works, but that is the last of his works to be translated because it's about the Jews and how it was the Jews behind communism, right? So that had to be censored.
So how is it possible that there isn't a publishing house for white people? I mean, just think about this.
How would they?
Well, I know how they would did it through the Federal Reserve. So if you had a publishing house, hey, what do you want for your publishing house? I want $600 million. Okay, yeah. No problem. We'll print that up tomorrow as long as we get every publishing house we want. And then they gobble up the little ones. Once there's bigger ones, they gobble like they do with everything until it's a monopoly. So it took them a certain period of time. Didn't Tinsdale have his own publishing house?
Tyndale? You mean the...
Tyndale, the one that did the Bible. Wasn't he the first one that had his own publishing house that actually brought the Bible to everybody so that we could read it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, since that period... and remember the 1492 thing where the Jews from Constantinople or wherever it was, they told the other Jews, I keep mentioning this, to become apothecaries, to become doctors, to become bankers, to become lawyers so that they could destroy us every way they can. Well, they also told them to make sure they got control of the press. So that was an ongoing thing. I don't know when they started to get full control of it, but they've got it now to where – you know, you practically can't publish anything that they don't want published still.
Right.
So that's something to think about. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the average Jew in the Soviet Union was basically a genocidal maniac who got away with murder. And when they got tired of being living in Russia, they moved to America or to Germany or to England. Right. Even Marx spent a lot of his time in London, being entertained by London Jews. And Bronstein, Trotsky, spent a lot of his time in New York City being entertained by Jew bankers like Jacob Schiff.
And they were subverting in America, doing all the damage in America. And then they were called over there and they said to them, I'm sure they said to them, you can spill as much blood as you want. See, you got to realize something about the Jew. I always tell you this, and that is, when the Jew wants to come into your country, they're this lowly Jew who is the tears are falling. We're a persecuted people. Right. But if a Jew gets in control of a concentration camp, they are the biggest tyrant that would walk the earth.
That's what Solzhenitsyn says in 200 Years Together. Right?
It's knowing the patterns of your enemy, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's really all about. And as I learn them, I see these patterns the more I study these people, and I keep on pointing them out to you because nothing is new. What I just read to you with Rahm Emanuel, nothing changed. It's the same game. We're in it for the long haul. We divide people. We look for wedges to drive between people. As Jews, not me, them, you know, he's telling you a story. We subvert nations. This is what they do.
That's right. They play poker with nations, not chips, with nations, folks. And they don't care what happens to those nations either. They don't care. They are simply it's bloodlust, really. They're so fixated on bloodlust. And the only reason they don't do it, you know, here in America, they do when they can get away with it. There have been a few Jewish serial killers, okay? But generally speaking, the Jews are very careful not to be too noticeable. And they do mainly white-collar crime. But they're also involved, again, it involves, you know, child pedophilia, the global pedophilia sex rings. They're in the business of promoting all that stuff. And some of the Jews actually engage in it themselves, but they're making money off of it. Yes, they make money off of other people suffering. And at the same time, they cry crocodile tears. Oh, we persecuted Jews. We've been so persecuted for 2,000 years. And what they've done to us boggles the imagination. Absolutely boggles the imagination. But you don't hear about it because there was no Eurofolk radio 5 years ago. Now you're going to find out, folks. We're going to reveal.
And you don't hear about it because what's happening on the abortion table is child ritual murder sacrifice legalized right. in the That's guise, right. again, in the guise of the medical profession.
Yes.
It's not the medical profession at all. As a matter of fact, that woman we heard, it's amazing what goes on there. I mean, that thing is a slaughterhouse.
That's right.
And it's not clean. It's not run like a medical profession. It is they don't clean their instruments. They don't care about these patients. They encourage them to they're trying to get the business, and they deliberately will grab them on the remember what she said? She'd grab them with the finger and the thumb on the elbow and say, "Don't worry, we'll take care of you. We won't let anybody." Yeah. Remember that?
Right. Right.
And yeah. this woman's smiling as she's telling. This is how I know she's a liar. I mean, not lying about what she's saying, but she's actually glorifying in this thing. And then when she gets down to the end, when she's talking about the real deadly things, she tries to pretend she's got some kind of a conscience. Now, she's a whistleblower, so to speak.
Right.
But however, what I'm telling you is you're watching murder every day. You know about that this legalized murder on the abortion table, which is child ritual murder sacrifice. This is what the Jews were kicked out of the nations of Europe 109 times for, besides usury, stealing properties, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
They made this legal here. This is happening.
That's
what
right.
happened in Russia with the brains on the floor in Germany with the blood, you know, 2 inches,
right.
you know, they're stepping in blood 2 inches high.
Kate
and
Forrest.
Brains splattered
Kate
all over
Forrest,
the place.
Executing, 4,000 Polish officers in cold blood.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And they try to blame it on Germany. Right? They're still blaming Germany, folks. But it's the Jews who are guilty, okay? A couple of these quotes from the bottom. I'm not sure how far you got in the article, The Greatest Story Never Told. Those innocents...
Clean up fruits.
Okay,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just read a couple of quotes from the bottom here. Those innocents who lost their lives in Dresden were killed not because of something they had done, but because of an accident of birth. Those who died in Dresden on February 13, 14 were simply Germans. They were killed because they were Germans.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crime being a German. I should know. Yeah. I'm German, so
yeah.
are you, right?
Yes,
but
right.
There again, now let's look at February 13th and 14th. You've got 27, which is 999, mm-hmm. 9 times 3. Hello. Just something to think okay. about, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, they pick dates, you know, for ritual purposes. It's Freemasonic numerology, yeah, right? Okay, yes, please continue with the rest of the article.
Well, I think you read it down to there. If you want me to go back, there's really nothing left here, as far as I know, unless you want me to say the documentation of this war crime committed by the Allies, commissioned by the Hitler government, and in the aftermath of Dresden Holocaust, fell into Allied hands. These mountains of dead captured in the film footage were later edited and spliced into Allied propaganda films about concentration camp. Are you hearing this, folks? About concentration camp atrocities, and were shown to the world at large as evidence of Jewish dead. Just
okay.
what you said, Eli.
That's right. That's right. Those bulldozers were pushing German bodies around, not Jewish concentration camp victims. Propaganda. Jewish propaganda. Yeah, please continue. I mean, this is eye-opening stuff. And you're not going to hear this.
Next time you... Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're not going to hear this on NBC or CNN. No chance.
Okay. Next time you see one of those pictures, think hard about the source. Remember also that those who planned the ordered these raids, and yes, the crews who carried out these raids were and are war criminals by anyone's definition. That's why I'm saying if you were a British plane one of these people that did this, I don't know how you could live with yourself, because you've just committed one of the biggest crimes of all. If anyone touches any of these little ones,
right.
It would be better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck.
That's right. And dumped in the ocean. I've seen the movies of Allied airplanes strafing German civilians walking next to a channel or a river where they can't go either way because it's an elevated street, and the Allied machine gunners in their planes were simply mowing civilians down. Just mowing civilians down. No military target whatsoever in Dresden. And as we started out by quoting Churchill, who said, "We're going to rain terror on the German people like nobody can believe." And that's what they did. So it was a promise carried out by Churchill, that Jew puppet Churchill. Okay.
Now, the book Germany Must Perish claims that the Germans are a warmongering people, that they have war in their blood and they need to be breeded out, they need to be killed, they need to be wiped out completely. And the real truth is, again, what do the Jews do? They call everybody else what they are.
That's right.
Who's splattering the brains? Who's commanding and making sure? This was done through FDR, it said, and Churchill and Morgenthau. Morgenthau, yes. What has he got to do with anything?
Yes.
Except he's a Jew. He's some kind of a judge or whatever he is. But you see, while this is going on, who are the real haters of World War II? Who are the real haters of our nation today? Is it the people that want to protect their race, the people that want to protect America and make America great again? Or is it those who want to destroy America? Who are the real haters? Yes. They're calling us haters, but who are the real haters? And I want you to think about that for a little while. Because it's very obvious. Could you do this to these children, dear listener? Could you go and bomb these under a command, or would you have said no? I would have said no. I'll go to jail.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, it's so obvious that the Jews control the press, and by controlling the press, they have kept the reaction to their animus and genocide against the white race under control. But thanks to the internet and thanks to the Christian identity movement, that's changing, and more people are becoming aware of the perfidious Jew and what the Jew has done to our race. Not just to our race, but to other races as well, because the Jews created communism in Red China as well. Okay.
Oh, yes.
So the Jews are guilty of more deaths, more Holocausts, more enslavement, more torture, murder, and mayhem than any other race. And they're a minority, right? Okay. They're
a
minority. Imagine
2% of the world could cause that much death.
That's
and
right.
Do you know what this is? It is what a Holocaust is, a Jewish sacrifice to their father, the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what it really is. You have one more article here, too. Who started the bombing of civilians in World War II, in case you don't know. So you have plenty of time to read through this, too.
Right.
But the thing is that the ones that are always crying out and calling us slave owners and everything else, they're the ones that run slavery in Israel today.
That's
they're
right.
The ones that have all the like, I get a big kick out of the blacks in America thinking that they used to be slaves. They don't know that we're all slaves right now.
Yes.
Right. I said that to a black woman. She didn't argue. I said, I get a big kick about your people thinking that they used to be slaves.
Right. Right.
No, really. For real. Yeah. They're still slaves.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Well, we're debt slaves to the Jews. Well, actually, let me read comment number 4 under The Greatest Story Never Told. This is by Angela. Hitler made the same mistake that JFK and Gaddafi did. He pulled Germany out of the international banking system. Germany had no debts and did not have to pay interest. That clearly is a provocation to the Rothschilds and a death verdict. On the other side, there are theories that Hitler was the illegitimate grandson of Baron Jakob de Rothschild Vienna, as his grandmother worked as a maid in Baron Rothschild's household and became pregnant. That would make Hitler
they
a quarter.
They wish he was.
Yeah,
they
right.
wish he
yeah.
was.
Yeah, we hear this story all over the time. But the fact is, the first sentence is absolutely right. All three, JFK, he started printing treasury notes. And I know people who've saved some of those. They were put into circulation. But LBJ, lying butcher Johnson, pulled them out of circulation as soon as he took office after murdering JFK. He pulled those out of circulation immediately. And Gaddafi did the same thing. Okay. National currency based on gold, not debt money issued by the Rothschilds. So at least Angela is right on that count. So, folks,
can I mention this about Gaddafi? That you living in under Gaddafi, if you were a civilian and you were one of the people of his nation, you were living freer than probably almost any nation in the world. And then once the Americans went in and bombed him and killed Gaddafi, you were now living like a slave like we are. And they knew the difference.
Right. Well, the first thing they did.
In other words, we don't know the difference.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Even before they killed Gaddafi, they set up a Rothschild bank. Right? It's patently obvious why they invaded Libya. Because Gaddafi, just understand why they killed Saddam Hussein. Because he stopped taking Federal Reserve notes in exchange for Iraqi oil. Right?
He had lots of gold, too. And he was working on he was working on the infrastructure of the place. He was trying to water the desert and make it into a lush. And he had a good plan going on. He was going to make it into lush, beautiful lands through, you know, whatever you call that.
Oasis.
I forget the name. You know, when you when you use water, you use channels of water to, believe it or not,
irrigation. We have irrigation.
Irrigation. But we have the technology to actually turn a desert these days into a beautiful lush land. So Nevada doesn't need to be Nevada. And any of these places, you know, it could all be lush, beautiful land.
Sure.
They already have the technology.
Yeah.
But Gaddafi was working on that that as well. He was going to turn it into a wonderful place and a beautiful kingdom. And they weren't the middleman anymore, so they had to destroy it. But what I mean about those people, Eli, is if they lived in America, they wouldn't know what it was to live good. See, what happens is they were living with Gaddafi, and then it was turned into America. You know what I'm trying to say to you?
The sick America.
They were living free, and then they were living as slaves. Yeah. So they all left there, you know, they all whatever. Right. They rebelled.
Yes. Okay, next, I think you're referring to the Michael Walsh article. By the way, many of these people have been interviewed by A.C. Hitchcock and broadcast on Eurofolk Radio. We are on top of these stories, folks, more than any other news agency on the planet. We're on top of these stories. War crimes by the Jews against the white race, especially against Germany. You're going to hear more about that here on Eurofolk Radio than anywhere. And you're not going to hear about this on any Jew-controlled network. Absolutely never. Terror Bombing, the Crime of the 20th Century by Michael Walsh. This is old. This is 1st August 2001. In terms of personal success, there has been no career more fortunate than that of Winston Churchill. In terms of human suffering to millions of people and destruction of the noble edifice of mankind, there has been no career more disastrous. From the European and English Journal, source, American Manifest Destiny and the Holocaust, page 176. The most uncivilized means of warfare that the world had known since the Mongol invasions. That's Churchill for you. February 13, 14, 1945, Holocaust over Dresden, known as the Florence of the North. Dresden was a hospital city for wounded soldiers. Not one military unit, not one anti-aircraft battery was deployed in the city. Together with the 600,000 refugees from Breslau, Dresden was filled with nearly 1.2 million people. Churchill had asked for suggestions on how to blaze 600,000 refugees. He wasn't interested how to target military installations 60 miles outside of Dresden. More than 700,000 phosphorus bombs, and what did the Jews use against the Palestinians?
Yeah.
Okay. Phosphorus bombs, folks. They're still doing it. Were dropped on 1.2 million people, one bomb for every two people. The temperature in the center of the city reached 1,600 degrees centigrade, which is much hotter than Fahrenheit. More than 260,000 bodies and residues of bodies were counted, but those who perished in the city center can't be traced. Approximately 500,000 children, women, and elderly, wounded soldiers, and animals of the zoo were murdered in one night. This autumn, the British Broadcasting Corporation will be releasing a £2 million two-part drama called Night and Day. It purports to be a true account of RAF Bomber Command's monstrous conflagration of Europe. It will, in fact, be a crude, one-sided attempt to launder a series of British and American war crimes, equaled only by Joseph Stalin and Genghis Khan's grotesque, scorched-earth policies, which reduced Eastern Europe to ashes and decimated its population. So, anybody who wants to suggest that the Jews have been the most persecuted people on the first, I beg to differ. I beg to differ, folks. It's the white race. Remember, we were the most populous people before World War I, and now we're down to 33% of what we used to be. Okay? So all we ever hear about, though, is 6 million Jews who never died, but were simply relocated. And it wasn't even that many, because there were only 4 million Jews in German-occupied territory before the war began.
And after the war was over, there was no decimation, no real decimation of their population. See, the numbers just don't add up, and that's why we can't discuss the Holocaust. That's why we can't discuss anything to do with World War II Germany. That's what they were trying to do by pulling that thing, the Senate, the traitorous Senate that we have, you know, all voted unanimously to put those laws in the colleges, that you cannot criticize the Jews and you cannot discuss anything to do. Now, in other words, there is no discussion. Whatever the Jew says about the Holocaust is what it is. Doesn't matter if the number changed from 4 million to 2 million to 1.1, 1.5 million. It's whatever they say it is. And that's what was said in the word in 1984 when he was torturing him, Winston, on the table. He would say, Winston, how much is 2 and 2? And Winston would raise his things and he'd say 4. And he'd say no. And he'd chalk him up more and torture him more and tighten the table more.
Right.
And he'd say, Winston, how much is 2 and 2? Finally, you know, he'd answer the wrong thing again. Finally, he says, it's whatever you say it is. Now right. You've got it, Winston. Mm-hmm. Now you're understanding. See, because Winston, sometimes 2 and 2 is 4. But other times, it's 5. Mm-hmm. Other times, it may be 2. It's whatever I say it is.
That's right. That's right. Whatever the Jew says it is. Right? Okay. Right? Volcanic flames, 5,000 feet high. The volcanic flames ensuing were thrown 5 times the height of New York's Empire State Building, with gases as high again caused meteorological reaction as high as the stratosphere. Likewise, Frankfurt and scores of other cities like them, Middle Europe, the cradle of civilization, was incinerated along with its inhabitants. Between 1940 and 1945, 61 German cities with a total population of 25 million souls were destroyed or devastated in a bombing campaign that was unquestionably initiated by the British government. Destruction on this scale had no other purpose than the indiscriminate mass murder of as many German people as possible, quite regardless of their civilian status. It led to bombing retaliation that resulted in 60,000 British dead and 86,000 injured. Hardly any comparison, folks. Yet all we ever hear about is the German Blitzkrieg and the V2 rockets that landed on London. That's all we ever hear about. Right, David?
Yeah, let me mention something to you. Something just dawned on me. I want you to see something. I want you to understand it. A lot of our Aryan brothers think that Yahweh is cruel when he told us to kill all the women and children and even sometimes the animals and the men of these Edomite Jews and the Hittites and the different tribes that were race mixed, or they were Jews, right, or whatever. And we are a merciful people, just like Hitler was merciful to England and merciful because he didn't want to kill his own race. Well, Saul didn't kill the Jews. He took some of them back for tribute. Then that's why Yahweh took him, and he was the first king. He got nixed as the first king for not obeying Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Yahweh told him to destroy these Jews. Now, I want you to see that through all of Israelite history, and I'm talking about the white people's history, We again and again did not kill these Jews.
Right.
Again and again, we were merciful to them.
Right. And this is what we get.
And the first chances they get to kill us, they kill us without mercy. Without, I mean, total without mercy. If you know somehow these killings went on in the Bolshevik Revolution, blowing brains out and everything else, and what happened to the Germans alone is a story that Yahweh will tell us one day. And yep. You'll find out that history is nothing like you thought it was. See, the first chance they got to kill us, they obeyed their father.
Yes.
But, you know, everybody thinks how cruel Yahweh is because we wanted, you know, these Aryans don't say, well, look at these Jews, how cruel they were. They killed all these people in all these fashions and all these different ways. They only look at Yahweh and say, oh, he's the cruel one.
Well, the Jews have trained them to do that. The Jews have trained. It's the Jews who spread this rumor that Yahweh is a Jewish God and the Bible is a Jewish book, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
but I mean, it's amazing that the first chance they get, any chance they get, as soon as they got out of the ghettos, they began the killing several ways. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, in other words, you know, you had the French Revolution. Immediately, things are going on. The killings began.
Right.
You know, the Huguenots. It goes on and on and on. The Catholic Inquisition first started it out, right? So in other words, whatever went on in Rome, the Christian killings there, and it's just been killing fields all the way through. But every time a Jew gets in the position to kill, they don't have any mercy whatsoever. I mean, zero mercy. All Germany must perish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So about that. We are merciful like our father.
Yeah, and Jews are agonizing because they didn't kill all the Germans, right? Actually, Yahweh provided more because there's 40 million ethnic Germans right here in America that the Jews have not yet managed to kill.
But that's what they're working
Fat
on. That's why that's why the Noahide laws are put
in. That's right.
That's why they've got the they skipped. I mentioned this before, that during the French Revolution they had the guillotines. They didn't bring them to Russia because they didn't want to make it obvious who really is doing these things.
Right.
And now they've got them ready in America to do it here. But, you know, when I had first thought of this, I said to myself, where is Yahweh's mercy in this World War I and World War II thing is? Where's his mercy for the tribe of Judah? And it dawned on me that his mercy was because 55% of the American people were German.
That's right.
And then you had Germans up in Scotland. You had Germans over in Ireland. I mean, tribe of Judah, I mean.
Right.
And then you had them stored away in South Africa as well.
Yeah. Well, even England.
So what I'm saying is he preserved, in other words, he didn't leave them all in one place to be killed. He preserved us by putting us in different places.
Right, yeah. Even the word English derives from Anglo-Saxon, which means German, right? And if you compare the English and German languages, you'll see that there's so many words in common that they're all based on the old Saxon language. So there's really essentially no difference between Englishmen and Germans, except the languages have gone different directions, right? And the English have a few more Celts who are much earlier Israelites that migrated to Britain before the overland migration of the Faroese Germans, okay?
The real difference between the Englishmen and the real Germans is morality.
I'm telling
you like it is. Nobody's as moral as the Germans.
That's true.
Nobody
that's true.
Had the morality like the Germans. Right. Because if the English were so moral, what are they doing to their brothers in South Africa? Why would they participate in that?
Yeah.
And I'm
going to
get angry and start screaming at that moment. Sorry. Yeah. But it's, in other words, there they are. Now, I love my English brothers and sisters, but something's wrong with them over there. They're very, very controlled by the Jews, like we are here in America, but in a different way. They seem like totally cucked in England. Imagine going down to South Africa and pretending you're a Boer, you know, you're an Afrikaner, and you're going to do that to your own brothers and sisters.
Right.
It's one thing for a Jew to do it.
Right. Well,
but it's another thing for your own brother to do it.
Well, it's basically the brainwashing. The Jews have controlled England since 1695 when the Bank of England was created. So the Jews have done a number on the British people. And, you know, the British people still believe that they're the most upright and, you know, honest people on the face of the earth. Well, that's not what the rest of the world thinks, right? That's not what the rest of the world thinks. So, yeah, there's justice there. And Yahweh's mercy, you know, is to those of us who obey his laws. He protects us and he fights our battles for us. So, but it's simply a repeat of the Old Testament where, you know, the enemies of Israel constantly swarmed down and killed Israelites, primarily because they were not obeying Yahweh's laws. It's hard to believe that the Germans weren't, you know, obeying his laws. Germany was a very Christian country, but it fulfills the prophecy of the end times where it says that 2/3 of our people will perish.
And they didn't have the name of Yahweh to, right. You see, that's the one thing the Jews have done for us through all time. The one greatest thing that the Jews have ever done for their own favor is to take the name of Yahweh out of the Bible, whatever it is, 6,800 times, and change it with Baal and change it with the pagan term God, so that we would not be praying to our Father in his name as he commanded us to.
Yeah.
And so that weakened our prayers. It weakened his answering our prayers.
Yes.
You know, lot of people say we were called Israel. We were Israelites before, and we would be called by another name, as you well know. Well, that name is Christian.
Right.
So don't be, you know, there's a feller out there that's always talking about how we're called Christians and that's a Catholic term. No, that's the new term that we were to be called.
Yes. Yeah, we were called Christians before the Catholic Church existed. Okay, that was at Antioch. You know? But I just want to say one more thing, David, that our people, none of these deaths of God-fearing, God-believing, moral Christians, Germans, British, Polish, Dutch, you name it, they did not die in vain. Yahweh is going to reward them as martyrs. Okay, they will be rewarded as martyrs. On the other hand, the Jews are going to get their just desserts, and they're going to burn. They're going to burn, and I think Yahweh is going to keep their consciousness alive so that they suffer for a nice long time. Okay, proportionate to what they've done to us, before he annihilates them entirely. Okay. Because there will be none of them left. Their souls will be annihilated. That's the second death, folks. They will be as if they had never been. But let's continue here.
May that day come as soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
I swear Yahweh's going to sit there and we're going to sit around him and we're going to listen to him tell us about the history of our race.
Right.
And we're going to know what the real truth is. And it's going to shock many of our people. They believe that Germany's the most evil and all these things that go on. I mean, I tell people this day, they'll laugh at you if you tell them the Holocaust is not real. And they have they've not studied into it one iota.
Right. They've just been lied to from grade school on up. It never occurs to them that it's a lie. Right? It just never occurs to them. A couple more sections here before we go proceed to Nagasaki and Hiroshima. England initiated terror bombing, says Walsh. J.M. Speight, principal secretary to the Air Ministry, RAF, conceded that, quote, Hitler only undertook the bombing of British civilian targets reluctantly 3 months after the RAF had commenced bombing German civilian targets. Hitler would have been willing at any time to stop the slaughter. Hitler was genuinely anxious to reach with Britain an agreement confirming the action of aircraft to the battle zones, or confining the action of aircraft. So again, you've been lied to about Hitler, folks. It was Churchill and the RAF that started the saturation bombing of civilian targets, not Hitler.
And you heard the quotes yourself. You heard what Churchill said.
Yes, right?
And you heard what Hitler said.
Yeah,
have both men's accounts. How can you not believe what's the truth?
Yeah, right. Well, because our people never hear about these things.
You know what it is, Eli? I figured it out. Our people are genuinely smart. I mean, we've been dumbed down, but I mean, we're smarter than the Jews are. It's the thing is though, that when Yahweh says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, it's just like I just told you. They believe whatever the Jews have told them, but they've never looked into it for themselves.
Yes.
So they don't know the real knowledge. It's the lack of knowledge
by
that
their
kills
fruits.
These people.
By their fruits shall you know them, not by their lies. Right? And because the churches don't quote that passage and never question anything the Jews say either, these gullible white people, Christian and secular, have been dumbed down, lied to, flummoxed, taken advantage of their whole lives. They never see through all of these Jewish lies. Why? Because many of them are doctored up as Christian statements, but those are lies also. This is what,
and they can read the new. They can read the New Testament.
Yes, they
and
do.
And they never come to the conclusion that Jesus never had anything good to say about the Jews.
Right, because they don't they really
never
read
come,
it.
They could read it 100 times, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And they could read that, and they never see the fact that Yeshua said not one good thing about Jews.
That's right. Right, he condemned them every opportunity. Every opportunity. The first breach of international law occurred very early on in England's war against the German nation. As the noted jurist F.J.P. Veal surmised, quote, "This raid on the night of May 11, 1940, although in itself trivial, was an epoch-marking event since it was the first deliberate breach of the fundamental rule of civilized warfare that hostilities must only be waged against the enemy's combatant forces. Their flight marked the end of an epoch which had lasted 2.5 centuries. All right, it was the British who started it, folks. The British.
And they still do it today. America still does it. You see what he just said there, ladies and gentlemen? He was just talking that they breached the... Mm-hmm. In other words, when you're fighting a war, when England fought America, one would stand there and they'd shoot, and then the other would stand there and they'd shoot, and they wouldn't try to hide. There's a military code of warfare. There's certain things you just don't do to people that you capture or whatever it might be. There's codes, of a code that you should go by. Well, we see the first example of this code being gone against with General Sherman in the Civil War. We saw that they devastated everything. They killed all the crops. They killed everything possible, left nothing to eat for anybody or anything. This is not normal warfare. This is not moral warfare.
Sure. I mean, it happens in every war, but what we see, it's typically orchestrated by the Jews, right? Typically orchestrated by the Jews. And we know that the Jews orchestrated the Civil War. And the longer that war dragged on, the more violent it got and the more hatred there was on both sides, one for the other, because it had dragged on so long. So I still put the blame on the Jews.
And what is that, Eli? What is that?
Hate. Oh, no, that's love. Sorry.
Yeah, it's division.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Isn't that a division? The Yankees against the rebels. You see, there it is again. Now, Rothschild planned on... We'll get to the Civil War next year or something. Well, let's continue with Germany. But Rothschild planned on splitting America into two and letting two of his sons take control over each side.
Right, exactly.
But there it is. There's Rahm Emanuel's thing.
Yes.
They drove a wedge between the people of the North in the country and against the people of the South. This is before they even brought the democracy.
That's right.
And division is the key.
Amen.
What did that division do? It weakened the nation.
Yes. Okay, I don't think I sent you the link for Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I'll give you that.
But I'll shut up now so you can read it.
Okay, well, yeah, because we only got like 10 minutes left. Richmond Unlimited, The Unvarnished Truth is the name of the website, and I'll just give you the link real quick here and paste it into the chat box.
Thank you.
And here is what it says. World War II, the only two Christian cities in Japan bombed with atomic bombs. Some time ago, a subheadline here, Japan, a well-planned Christian Holocaust. Some time ago, I came across a booklet titled Failure at Nuremberg. On the back cover was a statement by Taylor Caldwell, the American novelist. after expressing his outrage at the trials, that is, the Nuremberg trials, he wrote, "But the bombing of the only two Christian cities in Japan in August 1945 via the atom bomb calls to high heaven for retribution. Hiroshima and Nagasaki." Christian cities? Was this true? This letter focuses on Nagasaki because while Hiroshima has received little attention, Nagasaki has received none. Right? Therefore, okay, Truman. The Jew.
Just my thought.
Truman.
My thought.
Yes. Are you beginning to figure this out, folks? It's always the Jews behind this global genocide. Therefore, it has
been... Before you go on, just let me say this. Remember what Truman said in the newspaper. A quote by him was, "I don't care if the Russians win or I don't care if the Germans win, just as long as many of them die as possible."
Right. Yeah. That's such a loving statement. That's
sure,
the left.
He's not a hater. No. Yeah,
right. No, that's love. Genocide is love, right? The Orwellian Jew in our midst, folks. Christianity came to Japan in 1549. Of course, this is Catholicism, not real Christianity. When St. Francis Xavier came from Portugal and landed near Nagasaki, it was a place of beauty, a deep seaport surrounded by hills. He stayed here for a year, learned the language, and began to spread the word. Conversion was not difficult. By early 1600s, 10% of Japanese were Christians. Nagasaki was becoming the gateway and center for Western culture, or at least a Catholic version of it. For the Jews, the main settlement was in Yokohama. 17 miles from Tokyo, the capital. Here they could influence the government, and that they did. They developed a close money... What did they do? The Jews developed a close money relationship. Okay. Kobe was another Jewish settlement. When Japan closed its doors to all foreign traders, the Dutch Jews were the only ones with the privilege of trading. So in spite of not wanting to deal with foreigners anymore, the Jewish traders were still allowed to practice by the Japanese. Why? Follow the money, folks. Follow the money. Before and during World War II, Kobe was a staging area where Jews from Poland and Russia were kept while arrangements were made to send them to North America. Most of these Jews were communists, folks. They were communists. From the middle of the 17th century, for 200 years, Christians were persecuted. Many were killed. Many went underground. When in 1859, Japan was forced to open its doors to foreigners, 20,000 Christians came out of hiding in Urukami, a suburb of Nagasaki. They had practiced their faith secretly for 200 years, while Americans and Europeans are losing their Christian faith. With tears of joy, they came forth being able now to be Christians openly. In 1895, they built the Urukami Roman Catholic Cathedral, the largest in all of Asia, the symbol of Christianity. The Christian faith was regaining much of the ground it had lost because of centuries of persecution. Who are the most persecuted people, folks?
The Jews! The Jews!
Oh, okay. You've learned well, David. But then the war and the bomb. There have been many words to justify the bombings and many more words condemning them. The justification is that more Allied lives would have been lost if the bombs had not been dropped because the Allies had planned a bloody invasion of Japan. Condemnation of the bombings rests on the fact that Japan was a beaten nation, just as Germany was a beaten nation when the Dresden Holocaust occurred. It was suing for peace, using Russia as the go-between. Then Russia turned against Japan. Why? Because that was Jew-controlled, too. Japan could not... Japan could not have held out much beyond October 1945. In fact, Japan was finished in September 1944, when the Allies engulfed Japan in a total sea and air blockade. Amongst those who were opposed to dropping the bomb were General Eisenhower, General MacArthur, Fleet Admiral William Leahy, General Carl Spatz, Brigadier General Carter Clark, Major General Curtis LeMay, etc., etc. It's possible that Eisenhower didn't know that those two cities were primarily Christian.
Yeah, because right? he would have yeah. definitely bombed them.
Yes.
And if they were German, he would have been all over that.
Yes, yeah. But, of course, we had a Jew for a president by the name of Harry Solomon Truman. And even General Eisenhower sums it up, my grave misgivings, first on the basis that Japan was already defeated and that dropping a bomb was completely unnecessary, and secondly, because I thought that our country should avoid shocking the world opinion by use of a weapon no longer necessary to save American lives. So even Eisenhower disagreed with Truman on that one.
Hey, what are the chances, wow. Eli, would you think, right, that you've got FDR as president and you've got Harry Solomon Truman, another Freemason.
Right, and Jew.
Jew.
Right.
As vice president. How do you think, what are the chances of that happening, that both of them would be Freemasons, never mind Jews. Both of them being Jews?
Yeah. I don't know if Eisenhower...
Seriously, what do you think the odds are?
Well, the odds are tremendous if you're talking chance, right? But we're not talking chance here. We're talking conspiratology, right? I'm not sure if the Kike was a Freemason or not. He may not have had time to get involved in that because he had a strictly military career. But he was certainly a Jew. And he and the Earl Warren, the Jewish Supreme Court justice, made war upon America by integrating the South by force, okay?
But he wasn't a great mind anyway.
No, he wasn't.
His mother was mulatto, so you know that he was a shortcutter.
Right.
And number two, MacArthur said that he wouldn't even put him, he didn't even want him to work under him.
That's
and yet
right.
he got promoted over, I don't know, 50 generals.
Right, because he was Jewish.
You see?
Right.
Yeah, but he's also a Negro. So basically, of course, he's not a Freemason because he's not one of the intellectuals.
Right. Listen to this, folks. The sequence of events justify his conclusion that the Marxocrats in the Roosevelt-Truman administration were deliberately targeting Christians. It was reported that Nagasaki was not on the list of targets. At the last minute, the order came to replace Kyoto with Nagasaki. Although there was a large Mitsubishi plant near Nagasaki, the pilot went a mile off course to Urakami, which we just told you is the most where all these Christians came out of hiding. The pilot went a mile off course to Urakami. There he dropped the bomb on the Urakami Cathedral at almost ground zero, thus killing 45,000 instantly, and another 50,000 died in the next few weeks. Who in Washington was capable of such a barbarous act? He was Henry Morgenthau Jr.
There it is again. What did you just say? Every conspiracy I look into, the same names keep coming up.
That's right. Eustace Mullins.
Right. That's right.
Yes.
That's the only man I know named Eustace. I mean, you got to love that.
Somehow,
if I had a son, I'd name him Eustace.
Yeah, me too. Not everybody is aware of Eustace Mullins, so you know, there's always new listeners who's Eustace? What is that? I never heard of you. Very few people named Eustace, right? So, but he is a definite patriot and an Identian. He became an Identian the last couple of years of his life, okay? So they deliberately avoided the Mitsubishi plant.
It's too bad that these soldiers wouldn't have bombed the Jewish places instead.
Right,
what was it called again? Yeah. You know what I
mean? Oh, Kyoto.
It would have been nice if somehow they just hit those places instead. The Jewish settlement, Kobe. Yeah. Too bad they didn't hit Kobe
and Kyoto
and
yes.
Yokohama.
Right. But no, the Jews wouldn't destroy each other unless sometimes they kill each other for effect. You know, to keep the Jewish persecution myth alive, right? So they have killed, in fact, large numbers of Jews unsuspectingly. The Jews don't even are aware of this, that the Zionists have done this to communities of Jews just to make the Jewish persecution myth look good.
And that's also called the ends justify the means.
That's right. That's right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I think the basic message the listener should get, don't put anything past the Jews. They're capable of the most horrendous atrocities to the utmost level. You can't imagine how evil these Jews are, thanks to their religion of the devil called Talmudic Judaism. Okay, folks?
And there's only one people that would turn the medical healing of people into a business, and that's them.
Death business.
And there's also only one people that would press the button to cost the nuclear holocaust of the whole world.
Right, the Samson
and
option.
And that's them.
That's the
Samson
option.
Yes.
That's right. Okay, folks, we've run out of time. I hope you're getting savvy to the Jews. We're trying our best to educate you. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. See you next time.
When you're riding after rattlesnakes, you've got to be tough. You've got to be rough. You've got to shoot straight. Be on the lookout. The James Gang is back in town, and they're meaner than ever.